teaching today. Did you enjoy Pastor Jonathan Moore last Sunday? Amen. Fantastic. Literally, people sending messages this week and calling and saying, hey, thank you for Pastor Jonathan. They were a blessing. Amen. And I'm so thankful. And you are so kind to receive my friends and be so gracious. They said that over and over. You know what? The people at the church at Covington are so nice, so kind. So thank you. I know that's genuine and from your heart. So thank you for receiving our friends today. I'm happy to be teaching today and just taking another step in this I Am the Church. I know we've been doing this for a few Sundays now this summer as we just kind of discover what it is that God wants for our church, and not only what God wants, but what we want and what we desire to see in our church. And I'm believing that it's coming together. I'm seeing it. I'm witnessing it coming together as good things are happening. Again, a beautiful and awesome crowd on a summer Sunday. You're voting with your attendance. You're saying yes with your worship today. And I'm so very grateful for people that are buying in to building and seeing a great church. I want you to understand today that God has a plan. He's got a plan for this church. I think we know that. I think we've talked about that enough to really, really see that. Honestly, we know that God has a plan, but here's what I'm wanting all of us to understand is that there is a part I play in God's plan. It's not this idea, well, God has a plan and it really doesn't depend on me, it's going to happen whether I'm there or whether I'm not. Some of God's plans don't quite work that way. They involve you and I, and if you and I do not say yes to the part that we are supposed to play, then some dreams, some miracles just sort of fall to the ground. It's not that God can't raise someone else up or he won't move someone else into that place. We know he can, and sometimes he does that. But I want you and I to feel the personal responsibility that there is a part that I play in God's plan. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about our posture as it relates to what God wants to do. Luke chapter 3, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there or follow along on your phone or on the screen, it's there. Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, along with verse 16, says, "Now as the people were in expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.'" We'll get to the second half of this text today, these verses, in just a little while. But I want you to notice where in verse 15 it says, "As the people were in expectation." There's sort of an obscure, not as popular translation of the Bible called the New English Bible. And in that translation, that same phrase is interpreted, translated as, "They were on their tiptoes in expectation and anticipation." They were on their tiptoes. Elle, when she was a little girl, there was another couple that had a baby just about 2 weeks before, 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe a month before Elle was born. Her name is Caroline, and so Elle and Caroline were inseparable. They, Heather, Caroline's mom, watched Elle for a while Kristen and I were both working and doing our thing, and so she was there every day. But when you saw Elle and Caroline just just little bitty, beautiful young ladies learning to walk and all of that good stuff. They started walking on their tiptoes. And everywhere they went, the moment they would see one another, immediately they would both get up on their tiptoes. And I used to think, man, our kids' feet are going to end up deformed, you know. They're not going to be able to walk right. It looked so painful to me. I don't know what it was. They were just excited about seeing one another. They were excited to be around one another. And they would get up on their tiptoes and they would walk like that all day long. They were just always on their tiptoes. I think it's fascinating that the Bible says that these people were on their tiptoes in expectation. I'm going to talk to you today a little while about the church, our church, you and I being on our tiptoes. What does a church on its tiptoes look like? What is a church on its tiptoes? What is a church that's just wild-eyed with expectation and anticipation for what it is that God wants to do? It's really difficult to grasp that these people were on their tiptoes after 400 years. You remember when John the Baptist came on the scene and began preaching repentance and began to declare the truth of the word and there being a right way to live. He was the first voice they had heard in 400 years. The message, the messenger had been silent. All they had to rely on was many generations ago, great-great-great-grandparents passing down stories. Here's some transcripts. Here's a few words that we have. But they had been living in this period known as the silent years. And here John comes on the scene and he begins talking about a new life. He begins talking about possibility. He begins talking about what it is that could happen in their lives and what God wants to do in their lives. And they literally get up on their tiptoes in expectation and anticipation for what it is that God was wanting to do in their lives. Generations later, these people are standing on what had been said, what was declared, what was prophesied many years ago, believing and expecting. I'm just wondering how hard had life become? How difficult had life become? And yet they were not bitter. They were ready for what it is that God wanted to do in their life. They were up on their tiptoes expecting and anticipating what it is that God had planned for them. You see, I believe that expectation is the missing ingredient of today's church. Expectation. It's my conviction that we need to show up ready. Show up anticipating, believing that something is going to happen. I'm not waiting on a worship team to cheerlead me or to get five or six songs into a service before I finally start to come around and say, well, maybe something could happen. I don't know. I didn't get up expecting much. I'm not even sure why I came today. I don't even know what it is that God. No. I woke up this morning knowing that God wanted to do something in this house. Now I'm just walking it out. Now I'm just responding and seeing what it is that God wants to do. What happens? I get up on my tiptoes saying, hey, Lord, I'm looking for this. If I get on my tiptoes, I'm trying to see. I'm trying to get a better vantage point. I'm trying to get up a little higher so that I can experience all that you have for us. I'm on my tiptoes because we need to worship in expectation. We need to pray in expectation and get on our tiptoes looking for miracles and for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit every single Sunday. Does anybody believe that today? I know we messed you up today because we moved your seat. I got it. we moved your seat, and now you don't know where to sit, and your faith got all confused today. You're not sure what you believe anymore. Not sure if there is a God because somebody moved your seat. Listen, seats are just tools. Don't worry about seats. If we come in and they're all sitting in a big circle so we can worship to kumbaya one Sunday, don't worry about where the seats are. Just find one and say, hey, I didn't come here for the seat anyway. I came here for the Jesus. I will give you this one tip. Front rows never move. They never move. They're never adjusted. I still don't know what's wrong with this one. It's haunted. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if somebody died here. I don't know if somebody had a massive heart attack here one Sunday, but no one sits on this front row. Jesus, would you sit? Don't bother these people, Lord. They are not. Just send some new people. I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 brand new converts. I'm claiming it. I'll take 7 brand new converts that we see saved and set free and delivered. I'll take some folk to come sit on the front. I don't mind baptizing them. I don't mind leading them to you. Lord, I'll just take some folk that want to worship you, that get up on their tiptoes to say, I'm looking for the Lord to do something in my life. I see you beautiful ladies found the front row today. I love it. I love it. I love it. You stayed away from that one. I don't know what it is about that one. But doesn't that look better? I don't know why everybody's scared of the front row. I love it. I love front rows. I was preaching revival in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was an old traditional church, beautiful building, set hundreds of people, and we were doing Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night revival. And did that for 11 or 12 weeks every single week, and this front row was just always wide open. I never will forget one Sunday preaching, challenging people to come to the front row. We ought to look like we're excited that we're a part of this church. There were 6 ladies, I mean seasoned saints, gray hair, and just they I think they were all single and they were just kind of a breakfast club, if you will. But every one of those ladies, and down through the years, one of them would pass away or someone would get sick, but they never left that front row. That's been nearly 20 years ago. They were on that front row every single Sunday. Listen, it's not about where you sit. I'm not saying that you worship better on the front row than you do the back row. We're glad to have you in the building. But you know what? It does communicate something to our guest. I saw people coming in today looking for seats. Where do I sit? What do I do? I don't know where to go. This is not normal. But what I love is the fact that we're just a little bit closer. We're just a little more near to one another. Bring me a seat, Donnie. Bring me a chair right there. Let me show you the difference. I better put it up here so they can see me real good. But let me show you the difference. It's not going to be real pretty, but if I come in on Sunday, and I understand last week was a hard week, and it was difficult, and it was challenging, and man, if somebody could just get me an ottoman, I could just kick my feet up. If I just come in and there's something about me that is just slumped and sleepy and just, I can barely stay awake and I can barely move. Listen, I know God can move in your life, but I'm not sure he really wants to. But if I come in and I get set down by the right people, if I come in and sit down by these 2 beautiful ladies, I don't know, you're not going to sit by them a whole service and not end up doing what they do. They're worshiping. They're passionate. And something about their worship means I can't sit slumped and tired and sleepy. I get up beside them and all of a sudden it's contagious. Whatever they have starts spilling over onto me.
We just need some folk on their tiptoes today saying, hey, I believe that God is up to something at the church at Covington, and I don't want to be left out of it. I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it because excitement is contagious. Worship is contagious. I love that story in Acts 3. I've preached from it so many times, but you really do see the power of expectation, the power of tiptoes in Acts chapter 3, because this lame man is outside the gate of the church. He was brought there every single day. And most preaching and messages, I get it, they give Peter and John the credit because they rightly said in Acts 3 and 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we know the man was healed because of Jesus, but what was it that started it? What was it that ignited it? What was it that moved that plan into action? How was that power activated? Was it Peter and John? No, it wasn't. It was verse number 5. The Bible said that he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. It was the fact that this paralyzed man got on his tiptoes in his mind. See, your situation may be limiting you. Your circumstance may be challenging you. You may not be able to get up on your tiptoes physically, but you can get on your tiptoes mentally and spiritually and emotionally to say, you know what, I'm believing God for big things in my life. This man is paralyzed, but he's expecting, he's believing that something is going to happen. I'm not sure how many days he was brought to the gate, but the first day of the rest of his life began with expectation. Because when you start expecting big things in your life, get ready, because big things are going to happen in your life. You say, Pastor Darrell, you're way out there today preaching this faith stuff. Is there anything else? Why wouldn't we believe? He said, if we just had the grain, faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that we could move mountains. I don't know about you, but I have some mountains I need to move. I have some big things that I need for the Lord to do in my life. I suspect that there are dozens of you and probably hundreds in this room that would say, I've got some big mountains. I have some things that I need the Lord to do in my life. Oh, no, I'm not just going to sit back and just wait and wait. I've been doing that long enough. It's time for me to get involved, get up on my tiptoes, and start looking for the miraculous to happen in my life. We need a church on its tiptoes. Now what about that Bartimaeus fellow? Mark chapter 10 tells us Bartimaeus, he's a blind man, he's wearing the beggar's garment. It's a certain color. No, don't get it mistaken. It's not the coat of many colors that Joseph won. It's not a thing to be proud of. It's not a thing that others would be envious of. It was given to them by the government. The government gave them a beggar's garment, which meant Bartimaeus is approved. The government recognizes that he has a legitimate disability in his life, and he is allowed to sit on the highway side begging. And so he wore this garment every single day that identified him by what was wrong with him. His identity has become his limitation, or his limitation has become his identity. His challenge has become his name. He's just a beggar. He's just the guy that sits on the side of the road. But sitting on the side of the road, hoping that someone will put something into his cup. The Bible said that he heard that Jesus was coming. He hadn't seen him. He hadn't experienced him. He hadn't felt him. Jesus wasn't up there close to him. He just hears that Jesus is coming. I get it loud and clear. Some of you have not felt him yet. Some of you have not experienced him in that way yet. Some of you have only heard about him. You haven't seen him in your own personal circumstance or situation. But hear me, Bartimaeus started moving. Bartimaeus got up on his tiptoes when he heard that a miracle was possible, when he heard that breakthrough was attainable, when he heard that Jesus had the power to heal and to fix and to take care of the issues. And when he heard about it, he got up on his tiptoes. I'm looking for somebody that's only heard about it, but you're willing to get up in your faith and say, Lord, this is the day that you've made just for me, and I'm not going to miss what you want to do, will work out in my life. I'm on my tiptoes. The Bible said that he threw that garment aside. He threw it aside. It's been a long, long time waiting. He's not sure, but the Bible said that he threw aside his coat and jumped up, Mark 10:50, and came to Jesus. He's saying, I've not been healed yet. I can't see yet. I'm still broke, but I am on my tiptoes because I have made up in my mind that I'm not going back to that life. I'm not going back to that begging way of living, just getting by. I am going to see something change in my life today. And if you know the rest of the story, you know his life changed that day because the Bible said that Jesus healed him. And he never had to put on that beggar's garment again. So let me come full circle today, back to our text. They were wondering if John was who they were supposed to be looking for. They're wondering, is he the one? And John is making it clear. John is telling them, I know you've been waiting a long time, and I realize that you're a little bit desperate here. And it stands to reason that you and I would be curious what it was that they were on their tiptoes about. The Bible said they're on their tiptoes in expectation and in anticipation. And here's what John tells them. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. And here it is, pay attention. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now here's my question today. Do I want just what John has to offer, or do I want everything that God has to offer? Here's the decision they're making. Well, John, you're awesome, man. We've been walking with you now for a few weeks or a few months, and this is fantastic. John is not the most normal guy in town. I'm just telling you, he's wearing dead animals. Well, I guess that's not abnormal, but he's eating locust and honey. I mean, this guy is out there. He's a bit eccentric in the way that he lives his life. But these people are saying, hey, I want what Jesus has for us, because John is a comma. John is not a period. I want everything. I want everything that John is offering, plus what it is that Jesus is offering in my life. Have you ever been watching the commercial late at night, and they promise you the world? They tell you everything that you're going to get for just $5.95 shipping and handling. And after they've given you this long list of everything you're going to get, all of a sudden, when you think the commercial is about to end, they say, but wait, there's more. We're going to send you double everything we just listed, and all you have to do is send us one more $5.95 shipping and handling. You do realize those people are getting rich off the shipping and handling while they're sending you nothing. But wait, there's more. I went to the car wash the other day, and I was reading the sign describing the different car washes and perks and whatever. And so here was car wash number one. There was the few things that were included in car wash one. And then there was car wash two. And this is how they described car wash two. They said, car wash one plus. And there was another couple of things. And then you got to car wash three. And it said, car wash three is car wash one and two plus. There's more, always trying to sell me, trying to get me to buy in to what else is available. I don't know about you, but I'm just too curious. If I know something else is available, if I know that God has more for me, then why in the world would I refuse it? Why in the world would I say, nah, I'm good, I got enough. I kind of like how this is working out. No. I want to know what the more is. I want to experience the fullness of God. I want to experience everything. I'm on my tiptoes waiting to see what it is that Jesus wants to do in my life. So let's talk about it. John said the Holy Spirit is coming. Jesus is coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you don't realize is Jesus is only going to be here for a little while, and then he's going to leave with you the Holy Spirit. What is it the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives? We get so nervous about this. We're just not sure what all of this means. Let me give you just some quick things. If you want to write these down, you can write these down today, because I think they will explain perfectly how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. Number one, the Holy Spirit wants to invade you. Holy Spirit wants to invade you. The word invade is a military term. Because when an army comes in, they take over everything. They take over everything. The Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives and take over every part of our lives. You're saying the Holy Spirit wants to control my life? He does. And we ought to let him, because that's not a bad thing. If the Holy Spirit is ruling my life and I'm surrendered fully and completely to the Holy Spirit, that is a good thing that's happening in my life. Number two, the Holy Spirit wants to envelop you. The Holy Spirit wants to envelop you. What is that? What does that mean? Ephesians 1 and 13 says, in him you have also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He wants to envelop you. The only way I know to describe this is to show it to you this way. This envelope is like the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got a $2 bill that was in my desk drawer. I don't know how long I've had this, but they're kind of unique and rare, and you don't see them a whole lot just out transacting business, but it's a $2 bill. It's valuable. It's valuable. I am valuable. I'm valuable. If my life represents this unique $2 bill, he said, you need to get the $2 bill from where it is to where God has called it to be. So how do you get it from where it is to where I want it to be? If I want to send this to you, if I want to give this to you, but I want to make sure that this valuable, unique bill stays clean and is not torn and is not battered up or wadded up or misused or misappropriated. If I want to ensure that this valuable piece of currency gets to its intended destination, then I put it in an envelope, because the envelope is representative of the Holy Spirit. He will envelop you. He will cover you. And then the Bible said the Holy Spirit will seal you. I've been sealed with a promise. Here's the reality. You can rain on this envelope. You can toss this envelope around. You can pass this envelope through multiple hands, but guess what? What is inside remains valuable, and it remains untorn, and it remains unbroken. Why? Because it has been enveloped. It has been sealed. It has been covered. That's why you need the Holy Spirit at work in your life, because you are valuable. And just out there tossing and turning in the world, out there spinning and not knowing which direction, He said, let me cover you. I need to get you to your destination. I need to get you to your calling. I need to get you to the place of fulfillment. I need to get you to heaven, but I've got to envelop you. I've got to seal you. I've got to cover you. Do you hear me today? The Holy Spirit wants to envelop you. Wants to cover you and protect you and hold you. I tell you, number three, the Holy Spirit wants to instruct you. The Holy Spirit wants to instruct you. This is what John said was coming. This is why they are excited. This is why they're on their tiptoes. John said, this is what the Holy Spirit is going to do for all of us. Jesus is coming, and he's bringing the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit wants to instruct you. John 14 and 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Because there's so much to learn about life and relationships and money, and I want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just known something and you don't even know how you know it? Have you ever just been aware of something and you're not even... You have no idea how you became aware of it. I believe the Holy Spirit will put things into you, will teach us. That's what the Bible said, that he will teach us. Listen, I'm still in school. I've been graduated for a long time, high school and college, but I'm still learning every single day. The Bible said we have many teachers and many instructors and got all kinds of mentors and coaches and small group leaders and pastors and people in our lives that speak into our lives, but there is no teacher like the Holy Spirit who will teach us. Number four, he said, the Holy Spirit wants to impress you. Impress you. I don't want to miss this, because he will impress us to do things. Pray for her. Give to him. He will impress you to do things. Witness to that person. Invite that person. Hand a connect card to, an invite card to that person. What is it? Why, Lord, are you telling me to do such a thing? I've had weird things like that happen in my life, where just in a grocery store, just trying to decide, am I going to get the regular stuff Oreos or the double stuff Oreos? That's not even a question, is it? just trying to decide, and somebody just wheeled their cart by on their way to the syrup and feel God speak to my spirit. Hey. Say this to them. What? Lord, I don't know them. That's fine. I don't need you to know them. I need you to be obedient, because the Holy Spirit will impress you. Now, that's not an invitation to be weird in the grocery store. It's not an invitation to practice on people that you don't know. I'm talking about a God thing in your life. He will impress you. Sometimes I just feel impressed to do something. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't get a text. The phone didn't ring. I just know it's what I'm supposed to do. It's because you're so smart. No, it's not. It's because the Holy Spirit will impress us. One of his chief functions is to order our steps, to direct our paths, to help other people through us. You realize there are people that do not have the Holy Spirit, that cannot hear in the same way spiritually that you hear. And so God wants to use you to speak to them, to help them. He wants to impress us. Number five, finally, the Holy Spirit wants to indwell you. John 4 and 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You remember this story? Jesus was at the well talking to a woman who is saying, Lord, do you, sir, want some water? And Jesus said, actually, no, I'm not here about the water. I'm here about better water. Hear about living water. And he said, whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Because you know, when you have a spring, its source is so deep, you can't go turn it off at the spigot. It's the only word I know. You can't crimp the hose and get the water to slow down. When it's coming from deep within, it's a river that just keeps flowing and flowing. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life. If I'm watering the yard today and I'm using the hose, I could go step on the hose and nearly shut the supply off. Sprinkler having nothing to spray. But when my source is the Holy Spirit, somebody could step on me, but they can't kill his spirit in me. I could go through stuff, but the Holy Spirit keeps living and flowing and working in my life. I'm talking to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get up under your seat. Get on your tiptoes. Lord, what do you have for me? I want to experience what you have in my life. Because we need to be a people living on our tiptoes, a church on our tiptoes. We've had enough sadness, struggle, stress. If we get on our tiptoes and believe God for something great. How do I get on my tiptoes? Get connected. Go to Discover Church. Join a serve team. Get involved. I read an article early this morning, that said church attendance is dying. You have church on Facebook now and church online and church digitally. I can go and will, before this day is over, I'll probably go to 3 or 4 church services on my phone. But because of that, because of the culture that people want to be more to themselves and want to disconnect from others and they can't stand being lonely, but yet they choose and set up their life where they're completely alone. Because of that, because that's been the move for the last few years, church attendance is in major decline. I'm thankful that we've got a full house on a summer Sunday morning. But let me tell you what counteracts that is people getting on serve teams, people being a part of what's happening. Where do I serve? What do I do? You know what? I don't know if Pastor Mark is here. People that were on the team on Friday that was feeding a neighborhood here close by, some people that just needed food, and they made lunch for 25 or 30 people. That happened on Friday and went and served it. Had a fantastic time. There's always something like that going on here at the church, and you can be a part of it. Doesn't mean you have to know how to sing or know how to preach or know how to play a drum. Don't just think the visible stuff that you see, but there's all kinds of areas. Come and be a part. That's one way you can get on your tiptoes. You can move closer. Some have already done that. I feel like we've already had church today because I got four people on my haunted front row. This is so exciting. I can engage in joyful worship. You know how else I can get on my I can reach for the Holy Spirit. I can reach for the Holy Spirit in my life to say, you know what, I want all of you, Jesus. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that make you nervous? I'm not talking about as a church. I'm talking about you as an individual. That may be completely different than anything you've ever heard at any church you've ever gone to. Wait a minute. That's just for those people in the Bible. No, it's for you. It's for you. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit in your life. Doesn't have to be weird. Doesn't have to be crazy. It's just God's gift. God's gift. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the house today?